Cities. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this Saturday, February 24th. A nice, crisp, sunny day here in St. Petersburg. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, where we're located each and every Saturday, going on 4 years down here at Ferg's. And I'm Mike Rickard, not joined by baseball Ben Botham. He's taking care of his coaching responsibilities today as the Seminole and the Seminole Warhawks do battle. They host a tournament that Joe Geiger's in the house, though. He can certainly fill those shoes for me as we open up our first segment. He does a superb job with all of our social media. Boca Ciega graduate. Right now he's over at St. Pete College. Those are the Titans, right?
The Tritons.
No, the Tritons, Eckerd College, dude.
Yeah, you're right. It is the Titans.
Come on, man.
It's the same thing.
Right out of the box, I said, you can handle things. And of course, another year, and he'll be at Florida State, his beloved Seminoles. But right now, he's doing a superb job for us. And in a second, he's going to take you through some of the scores, games down here at Ferg's today. Of course, 104 televisions. Kind of a quiet day down here. We had an unbelievable week last week. We had Fan Fest across the street. We'll talk about that. Joe and I will talk about that. On Wednesday, we had our golf league here. We had our weekly comedy upstairs, which is great if you like comedy. And then we had, I almost said it wrong, micro wrestling.
Micro.
Now, I did bring up the word midget one time to the key guy, and he was ecstatic and hilarious that I had slipped. I put him up in a hotel, and I want to thank them as well. Crystal Bay down on Treasure Island, that's where the gentlemen and ladies stayed. And there was about 550 people here watching this micro wrestling. And then I did some research, which I should have told you to check it out. They have their own show on Discovery Channel.
I can't believe that that's a real thing.
They have their own show, and it's very popular. HBO bought Discovery Channel recently, and so they're down here. That was their second appearance at Ferg's, and they'll be coming again. So it was a very, very busy, but now it's going to start getting busier as baseball is upon us. Today, this weekend, we've got two games, right?
Yeah, the Rays play, open up spring training today at Charlotte Sports Park at 1:05 against the Atlanta Braves. Not on TV today, though, but tomorrow they have their first televised game against the Detroit Tigers, once again at Port Charlotte at Charlotte Sports Park.
Well, it was nice last year to have spring training right across at the Trop for us. But you get more of that spring training feel down there in Port Charlotte.
Yeah, last year's games didn't feel like spring training. They only sat, like when you went to the game, you only got to sit in like the select sections behind home plate in the dugout. And you don't have that hot sun blaring on you. You don't have the berm seating. It's just not the same.
It's not the same feel.
And Port Charlotte's park, the Rays one, is one of the nicest spring training parks in the area. So it's good to be back over there, I think.
And thanks to the hurricane, they got a $15 million upgrade, too. We got a great show today. We're going to be talking to Jim Hart, David Wilson, our Tampa Bay Rowdies Body Armor Coca-Cola segment. We'll do a rewind of the champions draft that we had here about 3 weeks ago now. Time's just absolutely flying. And then we'll have our Eckerd College Triton Time, the women's volleyball team, who made it to the NCAA this year for the 10th consecutive time. And they went 22-9 in the fall. We'll talk to Coach and a couple of those young ladies. Wyatt Ross is back from his world travels, New York City, of course, up in Canada for the All-Star game. And we need some All-Star injection of enthusiasm with these Lightning. Lost three straight at home. We'll talk to him about that. And then the second hour, a little prep connection feel. We're going to talk to Pete Young. He is in charge of athletics over there at Judge Wood. We'll talk about the Tigers and their success year to date with all their programs. I haven't caught up with them yet this year, so we'll talk about the fall, the winter, and where they're heading. And then Marcus Pascal. He is the head football coach at the Largo Packers, a friend of mine. He played at the University of Iowa, two-time Big Ten defensive back, played for the Philadelphia Eagles. Just a wonderful human being, and celebrate Black History Month. I want to talk to Marcus Pascal, as he always wanted to be the head coach of his alma mater. That was his goal in life. He obviously did much more than that in his youth, and now he's basically the leader of young men and doing an incredible job. So we'll talk to him about 12:25, 12:30. Jay Davis will be in the house, and we'll talk a little. I want to talk a little operations over at the Rays. He's involved over there on game day and even for like the Royal Rumble. Can you imagine working that Royal Rumble over there? I mean, that was
it's crazy.
You weren't down here at all, were you?
No, I was here.
Oh yeah, you were here early in the morning.
Yeah.
And I stuck around till about 4:30, and that was crazy. All right, why don't we dive into, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, some of the scores in the world of high school that you have, and then what's going on today.
Yeah, we'll start off in the boys and girls soccer state tournaments, as a few Tampa teams are left in the area. Number one, Carrollwood Day, they advanced into the regional final there as they beat St. Joseph's Academy 3-0. Tampa Prep plays today in the state championship, 3A state championship today.
Where do they play these at?
I think Auburndale this year. They might be all in different places. I'm not sure. But I think Tampa Prep's is in Auburndale. The other regions, 5A, 7A, they haven't gone as far. As Jesuit, they play in the regional final today against number two Horizon. And in the 7A state second round, Palm Harbor University, they lost to number four Cypress Creek after...
Palm Harbor went down?
Yeah, but they were an eighth seed in the state. They actually beat the one seed in the first round, but then lost to Cypress Creek in the second round. Same thing with the girls. 2A state semifinal, Shorecrest Prep and St. John's County Day. Shorecrest Prep won 1-0. They'll advance to the state final. In the 3A regional final, number three Berkeley Prep fell to number one Monteverde Academy 4-3. The Berkeley Prep Buccaneers have been eliminated. In 4A regional final, number one Academy of the Holy Names and number three McKeel Academy, Academy of the Holy Names, and them tied 0-0. They headed into penalty kicks where Academy of the Holy Names got the win 4-2. They'll advance to the state final four. 6A tournament, they're only into the third round now as number one Sun Lake beat number five Fort Myers 3-0, and number two Eastlake beat number three Mitchell 1-0. Same thing in 7A as number four Steinbrenner, they fell to number one Newsom 2-0. And then Palm Harbor Northport, they went into penalty kicks, and Palm Harbor won 1-0 in penalty kicks. Boys basketball, they're also in the state finals. Regional semis, Berkeley Prep beat First Baptist Academy 46-36. They're in the regional final. 4A regional semifinal, number one Gibbs played number four Booker. They dominated them 85-48.
Gibbs is tough, man.
They're in the regional final. And the 5A regional final, Jesuit advanced against, actually, Jesuit fell, I'm sorry, against number two Leesburg, 61-57. But the Seminole Warhawks advanced against Braden River. They'll play in their first ever regional final in school history.
Well, remember when they played Gibbs at home, that shocker at the buzzer, yep. That's given them a lot of momentum and confidence. Yep. And they probably haven't advanced this far in quite some time.
No, it's their first regional final in school history.
In school history?
Yep.
And we don't have Brad Richardson and Ben Bothman be bragging about their Seminole Warhawks.
Well.
What's that? You don't care. You're a Bocas Diego Pirate. Hey, what's the name of that tournament they're hosting up there today?
Baseball is in the Georgiades tournaments. I believe it is Seminole and Dunedin in the championship round today.
All right. So I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're good. Girls basketball states. 3A regional semifinal, Cardinal Mooney beat number four Tampa Prep 72-66, but Tampa Catholic moved on to the regional final with a win over Bishop Verrett 60-32. 4A regional semifinal, number one Lakewood beat number four Gibbs 67-39. And lastly, Booker beat number two Academy of the Holy Names 52-46. And then we have also reached baseball and softball starting off the season. as on Monday through Wednesday here, Countryside beat Hollins 2-1. Northeast beat Sarasota 3-0. Osceola beat Sun Lake 7-2. Pinellas Park beat CCC 5-4. Calvary beat Indian Rocks 9-0. Seminole beat Bogey 10-0. St. Pete beat Lakewood 11-7. Dunedin beat Venice 1-0. SPC beat Zephyr Hills 11-1. Eastlake beat Largo 3-0. Venice beat Hollins 16-0. Eastlake beat SPC 4-0. Palm Harbor beat St. Pete 3-1. Osceola beat Northeast 12-5. Tarpon beat Clearwater 7-6. Largo beat Zephyr Hills 12-2. Gibbs fell to Booker 25-6. CCC beat Bogey 7-3. And last night, Dunedin advanced over Pinellas Park with a win. And a shocker as Lakewood dominated Clearwater by a final score of 20-5.
Wow. And good old softball?
No, that was baseball.
That was baseball?
Yeah, now we're on to softball as they also had their opening week. Some games, Clearwater 14, Canterbury 6, Northside 3, Sefner Christian 6, CCC 0, Academy of the Holy Names 11, Boca Ciega 18, SPC 6, St. Pete 10, Largo 7, Gibbs 20, Lakewood 9, Eastlake 11, Clearwater 0, Hollins 10, Pinellas Park 6, Osceola 15, Countryside 0, Seminole 14, Tarpon 2, Calvary 12, Northeast 1, Palm Harbor 18, Canterbury 3, Eastlake 10, Seminole 0, and Boca Ciega 17, and Clote 0.
Boca Ciega must be kind of solid this year, huh?
Looks like they've had some run scoring in their first few games here.
All right, how about
over on the lady softball side?
That's our Fergs from the front row, of course, brought to you by our good friends of Body Armor and Coca-Cola. You want to go over any of the Division I in-state college action today, which you can come down here to Fergs and watch.
That's right, in-state college action, state of Florida college basketball. Florida State takes on Clemson today at 7:45 tonight. Vanderbilt takes on number 24 Florida. That game's at 1 o'clock on the SEC Network. Texas Tech, number 23, Texas Tech, takes on the UCF Knights at 4 o'clock on the Big 12
Network. I keep forgetting they're in the Big 12.
Yeah. Georgia Tech faces off Miami on 4 o'clock on the ACC Network. Florida A&M takes on Alabama State at 4 o'clock. And FIU takes on Jacksonville State at 6 o'clock, as well as FGCU facing off against Queens at 7 o'clock.
And when do those red-hot USF Bulls play? I think it's tomorrow, isn't it?
I would imagine. Yeah, I didn't see it on Saturday, so I'm guessing they play tomorrow.
And you've been to one of those games.
Yeah, we went to that big one last week against FAU.
Oh, you went to the sellout?
Well, you know, we only
go to the big time.
We're not wasting our time on a little weekday game against
Well, that game
Rice.
Was the first sellout since 2001 over there.
Yeah, that
was great to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Bulls Nation, the Herd of Thunder, I believe they called them. They showed out. The student section was packed. They were loud. They had their neon green shirts.
I watched it. I got excited because
it was a pretty good atmosphere for South Florida.
Well, the Tampa St. Pete area needs a smaller school like that to have success in the community. You know, sports fans will go. I'll go now. Sports fans in general, you're not necessarily a USF fan, but it's great to have local success like that. And the Yuengling Center is a nice facility, right?
Yeah, it's a nice little building. But yeah, like you said, it's good to see South Florida as they are, I guess you'd say, Tampa's closest college team
exactly
for this area. And they're a smaller school, so you can still root for, you know, the bigger guys like Florida State and UCF now as they've moved up. And still root for South Florida.
They moved up to the brutal, arguably the toughest
conference
in America right now, the Big 12.
And I'll give UCF credit. Yes, they're at the bottom.
They've been playing well.
They've played a lot of tough teams as well. They've won a couple big games, but there's just a lot of teams in that conference. I think UCF, once they get, you know, because right now they have a lot of recruits for the American conference. Once they get more guys specifically for the Pac-12, I think they'll be all right.
Yes, they will. All right. Well, we know he's all right. He's our man, and he is the godfather of soccer, high school soccer in the region, maybe across the state. I've been talking to people I talked to Pete Young over at Jesuit. He knew who you were right away. Jim Hart, how are you, my man?
Doing great. Doing great. I'll take it. But, you know, David Wilson's the man behind everything. And so I'm just a retired gym teacher without David Wilson there. So.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that when we had the champions draw down here at Ferg's, and I thought that was a resounding success. So you did a superb job, and it was nice to finally put a face to David Wilson. We've reached out to him a couple times. He's gone to voicemail, but he's probably active as usual, and not
good.
Like you and I.
All good.
You and I just sitting on our tail talking on the radio. He's probably doing something productive. Anyway, that was a great draw, I thought. It was year number two, a smoother process. That was a nice portion of Ferg's where we put it at, and I think everybody walked away. I don't know if some people may not have liked their seating or their draw. There were some pretty intense competition that you laid out there, and that's the goal of this, right?
Oh yeah, no doubt. And we have definitely a couple of groups of death. And not only that, Mike, but I'm going to share with you, I've put out the link to your radio coverage of the draw to a lot of different people in different markets, getting super favorable feedback on it. So we thank you for that. I also have some cool things to report. I was inspired by the front row at Ferg's report on some of the scores. You know, we're in the state high school playoffs right now. And I'm proud to announce that yesterday, Carrollwood Day School won the boys 2A state soccer championship. And so that's great for them. Today at 1 o'clock, Tampa Prep plays for the state title. That's our Champions League champion playing for the state 3A title. At 4 o'clock, Academy at the Holy Names Girls plays for the state title. So we have two teams in from the Tampa Bay Top 10 Champions League that could claim state championship status today. Yesterday, Shorecrest Girls went down 1-0 in the state final, but gave a good battle. They were heavy underdogs and did well, represented themselves well. So we're in the middle of all of that right now. Number of Final Four teams as well from 5A, 6A, and 7A. We've got Jesuit in the Final Four and the 5A Final Four. We have Bloomingdale Boys in the 6A Final Four. And then girls, on the girls' side, Newsom 7A Final Four, as well as Eastlake High School, which beat the Champions League champion Sunlake. We call it the Lake Derby. Sunlake versus Eastlake. It's a budding rivalry, and Eastlake knocked Sunlake out at the regional finals, so they're in the Final Four. Mike, you had the Eastlake girls down there at Ferg's. Do you remember?
Oh, absolutely. I was very impressed with those young ladies.
Those girls not only reached their goal of getting a result against Palm Harbor, but they've gotten now themselves to the Final Four. So they could be up for a return trip down to see you there sometime. I'm sure they'd like to do it.
Well, we'd welcome with open arms there, Mr. Hart.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And I think we have another, do we have another guest lined up to talk to today?
Not in the world of soccer. It's just me and you, my man.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to send you a phone number right now. I sent you an email, with this guy's number. And if we get him on, if Mike can get him on, then he's our newest sponsor in the Tampa Bay Champions League. A super cool guy. His name is Siggy Nagel, and he runs an outfit called Nagel College Planning is what it is. And I've just sent you his number. And Siggy is a great guest that we'd want to talk to on this show, because he is the guy, he touches on so many issues that we talk about on the show, not just soccer issues, but issues of kids trying to make it at the next level, both at NCAA Division II, NAIA, Junior College, as well as NCAA Division I. Siggy represents kids, not only soccer kids, but kids in many sports, and Siggy is the newest sponsor of the Tampa Bay Top 10 Champions League, and what he's doing is he's donating four free profiles in his planning website to four kids that are eligible for the Peak Family Scholarship. So you know how we have that system to get the Peak Family Scholarship with our board that picks a winner from all the different people nominated? But when you pick one from a lot of people nominated, that means that all the other kids didn't get anything. Well, now four of those kids are going to get something because of this sponsorship with Ziggy. So if we don't get him on today, we'll get him on to talk with you and to meet the audience, because it's an exciting thing. And Ziggy's going to go into the other markets, St. Louis, South Florida, and possibly sponsor down there as well. So it's a big deal.
Well, we'll get Ziggy on next week and have a conversation. I'll reach out to him this week, tell him you gave me his contact information. And, I enjoyed talking to guys that help out with the with the high schools, especially in this bizarre world that we're in. You've even got, you know, NIL creeping into the high school world. And a lot of the parents don't know, you know, what they're doing. It's strange and it's menacing for them in many cases. I've talked to many parents. I've got a great friend that helps us on the high school football side, and that's Coach Ed Schenck. And we brought the Marines now into our world. They're going to be one of our title sponsors. And Coach Schenck helped.
Oh, that's cool.
But a lot of these parents are confused right now for many reasons.
No, they are. I know Ed real well, and he's a great guy. And Ziggy's going to be a great guest. Do you remember the chat we had with Adrian Bush, Tampa Bay, or the University of Tampa coach, on this topic? And we were talking about NILs, and he was really insightful on that. By the way, Adrian will come back on the show to talk about that as well. I think that's a great topic for us to talk about. And it's just one of those very topical things that people are thinking about. And it's also very relative to high school sports, because, again, especially in soccer, we've got the advent of club sports encroaching on the high school footprint. Of course, that's a thing in basketball with AAU. It seems like that AAU basketball plays a little nicer with high school basketball than club soccer plays with with high school soccer. But it's a thing. I mean, the only thing where you don't really see it is in football.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you even see it in baseball in some capacity as well. And each individual, these kids, you know, that have aspirations of Division One and maybe a pro or just playing it, you know, at the next level in any capacity, many times they have a private coach.
Yes, that's right. And I think some of these clubs underestimate the good wealth of feeling that people have for high school sports. I know that happens in high school soccer, because people love their high school sports. They want to support their high school. Kids want to play for their high school. You've seen the kids that have come down there to FERCS, how excited they are just to come on a Saturday morning to represent their high school team and be with their friends. They underestimate the power of it. And I just think it's an issue that has yet to play itself out. But I think it's playing itself out. And people like Ziggy Nagel, who's in the business of saying, look, I don't care what club you're in. I care about the kid, and I care about creating an opportunity for the kid. These are the kind of people that they overlook. They forget about us, too, in the high school area. But you know what? That's okay, because they aren't going to stop us from doing our thing.
No. By the way, you've got my support 1,000% of that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I was just going to share with you that Ryan Helfrich last night, I'll send you a copy of it, was on was a guest on a podcast in St. Louis. And as you know, they're starting the High School Champions League, and he was talking about the Rowdies and Tampa, but he also spent a good fair portion of time talking about the High School Champions League. And he laid out a really good argument for why the Tampa Bay Rowdies proactively choose to support high school soccer. And by extension, the Rays, because the conversation was, hey, the Rowdies are owned by the Rays. What is that dynamic like? And Ryan was able to really explain how they are all working together hand in glove to support this endeavor. So it's pretty cool.
Well, across Major League Baseball right now, Jim, and I don't have them in front of me, and I certainly, in my age, don't have them retained anywhere in my gray matter, but there's at least a half a dozen Major League Baseball clubs that own soccer teams, and I think it's pretty cool, and it works in conjunction many times with the sponsorship opportunities as well. And it helps the soccer teams, because the big boys, big brother, you know, let's say Rays in this case, they sign an agreement with, well, I'll use my sponsor, with Coca-Cola. All right. And let's say it's a 10-year deal. Well, then maybe they're shying away from. They don't know enough about soccer. You know, the type of crowd that they're going to attract. They don't know the demographics of it yet, and it's all changing. Well, they kind of say, hey, we're going to lean on you just a little bit. We want you to help out our rowdies. And that's happening across America, and it's good for everybody. But that's that's part of the process of what's taking place.
It's a win-win.
Exactly. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Exactly right. And it's opening up to a whole new, you know, Perry Vanderbeck and I were just meeting this morning about this topic. We're turning our attention, Mike. I'll just share with you, just between you and me, if the audience could cover their ears right now and not listen. We are in the process of beginning a search for a national sponsor for the High School Champions League. And we're thinking about who to look to and what types of places to look to. We're wide open with all of our ideas. You know, Perry works in this realm. I mean, since he's been a player, he turned his attention to marketing and working for pro clubs and finding a way to grow the game. So this is, you know, this is easy stuff for Perry to work on. But it's all the same thing. And what we're finding is, just in talking about the point you made with baseball teams and soccer teams together, where the alignment is in the values. And the Rays and Ryan spoke very eloquently about this. The Rays and Rowdies have very similar value systems, the way that the kind of people they want on their team, the kind of people they want working for their organizations, and the kind of things they want to support. So while it might seem that, you know, you can't have more opposite things than a baseball and a soccer team, the truth is you can't have more aligned things. These are sports teams that are working in communities and that are supporting communities and have to stand for something. And you get good people working together, it doesn't matter what the sport is.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt. Hey, one of the things I want to do, I want to go back to one topic that you brought up, since it's just you and I, and we can appreciate it, and you're on the same page as I am. You know, I'm talking to the Ben Bothams of the world. You know, he graduated from Seminole. He took his first teaching job there and coaching job. And he's talking about this, a lot of the young kids of today, and I've been blessed. The kids that have come through down to Ferg's, from 2020 till now. Here's the Eckert girls in the house, a little trite in time, that have come in, have been superb, and I've enjoyed them thoroughly. But he said there is an absolute crisis down in the high schools, and he's seen it, you know, firsthand. He's only 24 years old, and he said these kids don't want to go out for sports. He said in fact, Seminole, from a football perspective, is going to have to go to a declassification because they've only got 24, 25 kids who want to come out for football now. What this is doing is that this isolation, I think it's isolationism from a generation perspective, they're going to miss out on the things, you know, like you and I talk about, you know, we're old Godgers, but class reunions, lifetime friendships, you know. Even at the college level, you know, a couple of young ladies in front of me right now, they're going to be talking to each other the rest of their lives because they built that bond through sport. And I think if we don't get our arms around that as a society, and I don't care if it's globally or just here in America, that is going to impact a lot more, a hell of a lot more than just sports. And I think it's a travesty.
Mike, I couldn't agree more. And where I draw excitement is from, do you remember the kids you mentored down at the draw, the Concha Kings, those social media people? That's our salvation right there. And those kids, as a matter of fact, Mike, as you know, we're starting a national content creators network for the Champions League, which you're a part of and they're a part of. And it's podcasters and social media people, bloggers. These are all people that are coming together to tell the story of the High School Champions League, which means they're telling the story of participation in high school sport. And you get youngsters like that telling those stories, I think we're in good shape because those kids do a great job. They're not like you and me, old guys. They speak the language, they relate, they know, they get it. And those kids are just as excited as anybody about high school athletics. We need more people telling those stories. Why I'm excited about this network, it's why I'm excited about you mentoring those kids. Because there's the answer, or at least part of the answer right there.
Well, they're not going to throw us to the curb yet, pal. They're not going to put us out to pasture, all right? We're going to keep rocking and rolling. I'm gonna take a quick break, and I'm come back and have a little fun with the Lady Tritons from the women's volleyball team. Coach better be in the house. She's on her way. Okay, good. Because we'll have a little fun at her expense. All right, we'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill across from Tropicana Field on a gorgeous February 24th, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and, of course, Coca-Cola Beverages.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the Pee Wees to the Preps to the Pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
To the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Great conversation, as always, with the godfather of soccer in the entire state. I'm finding out, actually, in America, regionally, my good buddy Jim Hart. We're brought to you by our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily down on Blind Pass Road, about two blocks from the beautiful Gulf of Mexico on the Intercoastal on Blind Pass, serving breakfast daily, and that's our good sponsors and friends at Sea Dogs Brewery. And, of course, Body Armor and Coca-Cola Beverages. They support all of our high school conversations. This next segment is actually sponsored by our good friends, Tom Ryan and the gang, over at Eckerd College. It's Triton time, and we've got the what a fall you girls had. We've got the women's two of the representatives from the women's volleyball team, a freshman and a sophomore. And so we've got Hayden and Siler.
Yep, you got it.
I didn't butcher anything.
Nope.
Beautiful. Well, we'll start with the old lady.
Not that old.
The sophomore. No, you're not. Of course not. You've got the experience, to say, today. So I didn't have you. Were you down last year?
No. So this is my first year here at Eckerd.
Where'd you transfer from?
Wright State University. It's in Dayton, Ohio.
How would that go?
Oh, it was good. I went in as a freshman and didn't see the court that much, so I decided to make a change. But this is a very, very successful program. So.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that was not a tough decision when you saw that water, was it?
Definitely not.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Okay, so let's do a little bio. Where'd you go to high school at? Where'd you grow up at? And how you got into volleyball? Did you play basketball as well, or just went straight to volleyball?
Yep. No, so I'm from Marquette, Michigan. It's way up. It's right on Lake Superior. And I got louder.
Just a little louder.
From Marquette, Michigan, way up on Lake Superior. And I got into volleyball because my mom played at the University of Colorado. So
really?
Yeah.
That's a bizarre tie. Yeah. She's from Colorado, and your mom played at Boulder. Isn't that a gorgeous area?
It is.
Yeah.
I haven't ever been, but I'd like to go and visit.
Well, now you got somebody you can go visit in the summertime. Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm good.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Good to be seen, right?
Yeah.
So she's the older stateswoman in the house right now as the sophomore. So we started with her.
Okay.
And we're going through her bio. So let's go back to how you discovered Wright and then decided after 1 year to come down here and wisen up and join Coach.
Mm-hmm. I discovered Wright State my senior year. I was a late commitment because of the whole COVID thing. It made it really hard for my age group. And they were just immediately really interested in me. So that's why I decided to go there. Didn't really think of location, which is silly on my part. And I decided to transfer because I wanted to be a part of a program where I could play and do something great. And at a Division I, a mid-major, you're not going to go very far in the national tournament. So coming to Eckerd, that was something I was super interested in because I knew we could build a culture and build a team.
Well, you got accomplished this year.
Yeah, we did really well, but I want to go even further. So that's what we're looking for next year.
Good. What was your best memory this year? You've only got one season to relate to go back to, or if you want to go back to high school, what's your favorite memory playing the great sport of volleyball?
I think it was probably the stretch of home games that we had mid-season, and the crowd was just really awesome. And
I've been to the girls' basketball because I got Hannah as an intern last year.
Yeah.
I had Nicole. I got to get to volleyball games because I bet it's electric.
Awesome. They're really
awesome.
Fun. Yeah. So I think my favorite was when we had that stretch of home games and we did so well and it was
feeding off the energy.
Yeah. It was just game after game that we just did so well. So I think that was probably my favorite memory.
So then you knew that you made the right decision.
Oh yeah. I know
the right program.
I made the right decision. Like as soon as I met Coach, like on my visit.
Did she walk you out there by your own beach?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a real tough sell, is it, Coach?
It's not.
No.
It is not.
When you take the girls out. How did you find Eckerd? Did she find you?
I had no idea what Eckerd was. Yeah, she found me. It was probably, a week into my transfer process, and I got the email. What was it? Come live on the beach.
That's the subject line.
Is it really?
Now my secret's out.
Atta girl.
Come live on the beach.
I tell that to every coach that shows up here. I'm like, no offense, but you're not the greatest recruiters in the world. If you just get a chance to show some pictures of the beach and the neighborhood, and probably those yellow bikes. I mean, that's a big deal, ain't it?
I love them. Yeah, they're awesome.
I was going to ask you girls. I was talking to Amanda about it. I'm like, what the hell is the yellow bike deal? But I tell you what, if you look at it real closely, and the students are replying about their experience, a lot of wrecks and a lot of bad bikes. They need to maintain those babies.
Yeah.
People are talking about the culture. There was a story this week that I read about it. And, you know, what's your favorite memory about the yellow bike? Well, the front tire came off. I mean, seriously, these are some of the things that they're talking about.
People ride them off, like, the dock. I've seen people throw them off balconies, like, there's some pretty funny stuff that people do, but it's kind of sad. They should be respected.
Exactly. And Coach, I'm sure you tell your athletes, you do not get on one of those yellow bikes.
They're allowed.
Dangerous.
Ride responsibly.
Check them out before you get on. If you're my daughter, I'm saying, hey, give them a good shake.
That's fair.
I've had a few skateboarders over the years as well, and that I don't love.
No.
So.
So that was feeding off that energy. And then, of course, your NCAA, the 10th time that you guys have been to the NCAAs. Bravo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This fall. And I bet the entire community was behind you on that.
Yeah, I think so. The girls have done a good job just getting out into the Eckerd community and the St. Petersburg community. We've brought, you know, a lot of young kids in, young women in from camps, and we're trying to get the stands full. And usually once people come, they instantly get into the game because there's just always something happening. It's a dynamic sport.
Yeah. Well, we were saying before you got here, my friends here to the left, we're all from the Midwest, from the University of Nebraska and that region,
mm-hmm.
and know all about women's volleyball. Yep. And actually, women's volleyball is probably more popular than Cornhusker football these days, because the Cornhuskers blow in football.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a resounding yeah. And their volleyball team was, you know, nationally recognized by breaking that attendance record.
Yeah.
And everybody knows about them.
They're phenomenal.
They played in a football stadium.
Yeah, year. Yeah. Memorial, which I've been to many football games going back in the 70s. That's how damn old I am. But, yeah, it was electric and pretty cool that they did that. And then the University of Iowa did the same thing with our women's basketball program with Caitlin Clark. So pretty cool things happen in the Midwest. We don't have beaches, but we can create some fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to do a shout out to anybody back home? Have you picked a major yet?
Yeah, biology.
Biology. Got a smart one too.
Very smart.
Yep.
Well, anybody who goes to Eckerd's, you got to have the grades. I would have been kicked to the curb back in the day. Yeah, I had to go to Western Kentucky, and like, yeah, of course, come on in. So you want to do a shout out to anybody at home? Because we archive these on RadioSaintPete.com. I'll send that. Well, Amanda's got all that information, but they can hear you do a little shout out to the fam.
Yeah, I would love to. Shout out to my mom. I miss you. Please come visit me.
What's mom's name?
Tracy Rushka.
You shouldn't even have to say please. She's
so busy.
Yeah, I know.
Sadly.
I know the feeling. Yeah. But I'm sure she loved it when she saw this campus.
Oh, yes. Well, she actually, another interesting fact, when she transferred too from Colorado, and she ended up going to FIU.
She did?
Yes, so we both transferred to schools in Florida.
Well, yeah. it's like my mom, like daughter,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's a cool story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she left Colorado. You left Colorado.
I did.
So let's talk about your freshman year. How cool was it to be a part of a team that right out of the gate, you're playing in the NCAAs?
Yeah, it was amazing just, like, having all the girls to look up to and, like, kind of guide me on my way. And it was definitely a great opportunity, a great learning experience.
Well, since you know that, I do know the greater Denver area very well. What high school did you go to out there?
Chatfield Senior High School.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just... And it's in Littleton, down in King Carl.
Yeah, the reason I love my son's home at Littleton, it is about 15 minutes to Red Rocks and 12 minutes to the Morrison Inn.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you're familiar with the Morrison Inn.
Oh, yeah. My graduate.
Not for the margaritas yet at your age, but for the great Mexican food.
Yeah, I had my graduation at Red Rocks.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How cool would that have been?
Yeah, it was wild. It was cold. It was like 40 degrees and raining, but
I don't care. You're at Red Rocks.
The middle of May, you know.
Think about everybody else that's been on that stage worldwide. Yeah, very cool.
It was cool.
So what was your favorite memory this year as a freshman playing for Coach in this team?
I think it was just at the end of preseason when the hurricane hit here. We drove to Fort Lauderdale because we had a tournament at Nova. And we stayed in a house for a week.
A mansion.
A big house as a whole team.
Life's tough at Eckerd, isn't it? Western Kentucky, we stayed in Motel 6, four to a room. You're staying in friggin' mansions.
Yeah, I it was just really cool. It was a good bonding experience for a whole team. So that was probably my favorite.
Great bonding experience.
Yeah.
So before you got here, I have a book upstairs in my office called Soccer for Dummies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that bad in the world of volleyball, but I wanted them to clarify, you know, middle blocker, outside hitter, that, and they did a good job of that. Do you mind my asking you, without offending you, how tall are you girls?
I'm 6'2".
I'm about 6 foot.
Is that pretty much the norm at the Division II level?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're a little, I would say we're probably a little taller than most teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Now, height obviously is an incredible advantage, you know, just like in hoops. But what's the position? The digger. That was always me in sand volleyball because I knew that this you couldn't ruin this face anymore. So, but I love that position. Is that an actual position? The digger.
Libero. Yeah, or defender.
Defender.
Defensive specialist.
So where are they at? They're at the back.
They're
around
back row, and their job is to pass and to defend and to cover their hitters and serve really well. So they really specialize in all things defense.
So they're like a free safety in football.
Sure.
She doesn't know. I don't know either.
Come on. You got to have a little diversity. So how did you find Eckerd?
Coach found me also at a tournament in Kansas City. I did like a showcase, and she found me. She emailed me. And I didn't end up emailing her back for about 3 months.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Oh my God. So you played hard to get.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I got...
let me ask you this, because I'm going to defend my Eckerd College. How many opportunities of all those stack of letters you got had a beach?
None. Just this one.
Okay. Water.
Just this one.
Done deal.
Yep.
In the Sunshine State.
Yeah, I got the same email. Come live at the beach.
Okay. He said, I live in the Rockies. Who cares?
Yeah, and I get cold really easily, so I was like, oh, this is great.
You grew up in Colorado and you get cold really easily? That's not a good combo, yeah. Except it does change quickly. That's the beautiful part about that. Do you want to do a shout-out to anyone at home?
I guess just to my family, my brothers and my parents.
The names?
My dad's name is Mike. My mom's
great name.
My mom's name's Kelly, and then my brother Jackson and my brother Cole.
Jackson?
Yep.
I have a grandson, Jackson. Wonderful name. Are you the oldest?
No, I'm the youngest.
You're the baby girl that everybody's worried about because she's in Florida. Take care of her. There's a lot of pressure there, Coach, right?
I'm watching them close all the time.
Well, my other brother, he lives in Alaska, so we're like...
Wow.
We're complete opposites.
Yeah, weather-wise, 4,000 miles-wise, have you been up to visit him yet?
Yeah, I went up when he moved in his freshman year, and I get to go up again this May to watch him graduate.
So. But you're not going to be transferring to the University of Anchorage anytime soon?
No, it's too cold up there.
Yeah, I think. All right. Well, young ladies, I appreciate you coming down. Now we're going to have Coach kind of break down the team that she's assembled with. Come down, join us on the beach. That's a great catchphrase. She'd have T-shirts made up like that.
Right, I know.
So good to see you again, Coach.
Good to see you. Thank you for doing this again.
Of course, every year we love you guys coming down here to Ferg's. This is this is kind of our the Triton hangout. You'll see Tom Ryan, Tommy downstairs once or twice a month having a little bite to eat. If you ever know wondering where he's at when he goes to his desk, most of the time he's at his desk or he's at an event. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this team. You said you had a young squad this year. We certainly represented today with a freshman and a sophomore.
Yeah, they were older. We had 7 seniors.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that were all graduating. Siler was a starter, and Hayden got to come in and learn from 2 older players in her position. So we kind of were prepping and getting her ready for next year, getting her a little bit of playing time here and there so she has some experience and kind of knows emotionally what to expect to be out on the court. So next year will be fairly young, but we will have a couple more transfers coming in to help us balance that out.
So, has the transfer portal at Division I had any impact on your program? I've asked it to every coach at Eckerd, the Division II, if they've seen anything, any movement. Has any of that impacted you?
I think it's impacted us in a really positive way.
That's what I would assume.
Yeah. So at the Division II level, I think some of the student athletes are going to these mid-major Division I's and realizing, like, I did the D1 thing and it was fun to post about on social media and everybody was all excited for me, but I'm not having the experience that I wanted. I'm not having the connections I wanted. I'm not having the success that I wanted.
Not having the PT.
Yeah,
you're gonna get the playing time.
I want to play, and I want to. I not only want to play, but I want to wake up every day thinking that I'm chasing something great. Like for these young ladies, it is totally realistic for them to have a dream of let's go out and try and chase a national championship. Let's go win one. A lot of things have to align, and I have to do my job, get the right people, and everything like that. But that's 100% a realistic goal. Our conference, we've won multiple national championships in the SSC. So it's not odd.
SSC is the SEC of Division II, in my opinion.
Exactly.
With the exception of football, which they don't have, which allows more funds for the other sports, it is the SEC of Division II sports. And I'll argue with that. Anybody in the Midwest, friends of mine, how deep it truly is.
Yeah.
Well, and you're successful in it. Where are the Nationals? Do they move them around or do they have them in the same place?
Yeah, they move them around. This year, I want to say they are in, I just looked this up. I'm going to mess it up. It's South Dakota.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota, probably at the Sanford.
I believe it's Sioux Falls.
Yeah, it'd be at the Sanford venue, which he hosts a lot of Division I basketball, Champions Tour golf. It's in the medical field. He's a true, he gives back to the community. I'll just say that he's the wealthiest man in the state of South Dakota.
Wow.
doesn't take a lot. There's only 900 and some thousand people in the state, but he still has put Sioux Falls on the map. I grew up 90 miles away from there.
Oh, wow.
These guys grew up about 3 hours away from there. But, and it's a fun city. I was there at Christmas. It was a lot of fun. December 26th, flew from here, landed, got the rental car to go see the grandkids. Ice skating, falling, freezing my old, you know what, off. Nah, it's not that fun anymore. But
okay.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to visit. It'll be real fun if we're in the Final Four.
Exactly. Well, I would go there. I'd be kind of showing you all the great places to eat in town.
Okay, well, you're going to get an invite if we make it.
You have my word. I will go if you guys make it. You have
deal.
You we have my. On it. You know what? And I'll do radio from there.
Oh, there
how
we
cool
go.
Would that be?
Now we're talking. Awesome.
Now I got to start coming to games.
Yep. Start.
Don't tell Hannah that I made this big commitment. Because last year when Nicole, who I understand the transfer thing, I've been on her. You're going to play for Nova. She went to play for Nova, you know.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet? Oh, you didn't meet Nicole Scales. No. She was one of my interns for 2 years. Great gal. But she had, because of COVID, she had a fifth year. Can't blame her. And she wanted to, you know, they don't have graduate school over here, unfortunately, correct, for these coaches. Didn't get to take advantage of that. So she's playing for the traitors, you know, for the enemy.
Yeah.
And
what a great player, though.
Oh, yeah. What a great gal.
Person, super dedicated.
From the Chicago area. She had a little Midwestern flavor to her.
Yep.
And then I get Hannah from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've not been on my A game the first start of the year. I have not gotten to a game yet, basketball game, and she let me have it with an email.
Oh,
you promised me, because I love that small school love for everybody that they have at Eckerd College. Like you said, everybody's coming to your games. And the basketball, the girls' games were getting a lot of people, and especially when they played Tampa. I mean, you know, did you guys take care of them this year?
Sadly not, but next year we will.
Okay, I like that confidence.
I think the women's team might have won, and I think the men's team lost.
Yeah, in basketball, I know that, but I was wondering.
Oh, about volleyball. Oh, yeah, no, not this year.
Did they make the Nationals? Yes.
Yeah, we both did. I think they lost.
How cool is that for the conference, though?
Oh, no, they made it. They made it to the Elite Eight this year.
I think it was Elite Eight.
Yeah, they had a good run. Great, great program.
There were a lot of teams from our conference that made it. It was us, Tampa, Florida Southern,
and Lynn
Embry-Riddle.
And Embry-Riddle.
Yeah,
gotcha.
All made the NCAA tournament.
Hey, you got to get Coach Ryan to, before your volleyball games, be flipping burgers and hot dogs, too.
Oh, he does.
He does that before volleyball?
Everyone's
I'm in, then.
Yeah, we do a...
A tailgate.
Yeah.
It's just like you're at a football game.
Yep.
First time I walked up, this is last year, my first game that I ever went to, and I look and they got burgers and dogs. I'm like, that smells good. And I look over there, and it's Ryan whipping them. I go, what don't you do here? Hey, there's going to be some toilets that need to be clean when we get done here, pal. You put on that hat, too?
He probably loved that.
Oh, yeah, he did. He laughed. You know how he is. But, well, I appreciate you coming down. I always enjoy these conversations. You have my word that I will definitely, and I don't know which one of these girls you want to assign duty, though. To let the old man know when you're playing, and I'll make sure that I get there. And then I'm looking for new interns, by the way, too, if anybody's interested in business communications or just having fun. And you're only a freshman. Yep. You'd be around for 4 years. That's how I used to recruit Drake University. I get freshmen. All right.
I did want to tell you one fun fact that I think will not only get you to more games, but other people that are listening, is these young ladies are touching 9'10" and 10-foot high. If you think about the basketball rim, that's where they're playing, that high off the ground.
Holy moly.
Fun to watch.
You got some hops.
Yep. Yeah.
We'll be back. Hour number two. I want to thank the Eckerd Triton women's volleyball team for coming down. And I always enjoy these conversations. We'll be back, hour number two, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages.
Thank you.